This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick.
I had no light. There was no electricity. And so I just started throwing things. I went into the garage with my iPhone light and grabbed a suitcase and just started throwing things into it.
Aruna Jayaraman lost her home and nearly everything in it in the Northern California wildfires this week. She and her two kids escaped just 90 minutes before the fire reached their house in Santa Rosa, while her husband Vivek tried desperately to get home from a work trip in San Diego. Their story is like that of so many north of the San Francisco Bay Area, where wildfires have been burning for nearly a week now and destroyed thousands of structures and claimed more than two dozen lives. I spoke to Vivek and Aruna told me that when the warning came in the pre-dawn hours of Monday morning, it was a rush to grab her kids and escape.
I ran up and I woke them up, and they were just scared. And I kept telling them everything's going to be fine, but we need to evacuate. We need to get out. You know, they had their school uniforms out for that day. I grabbed those. I had my son get out of his pajamas and put on some track pants. And I just took my daughter in her pajamas and got them downstairs, and I thought, okay, at least in the car there'll be some light. And then I went to open up the garage door, and at this point, another one of my neighbors, my friends, had called to make sure I was evacuating, and I couldn't open up the garage door, and I'm freaking out at this point. I'm like, how do I get out? And you know, they're reminding me to pull the red tab and lift it up manually, and I lift it up, and then there's his basketball hoop. My son's basketball hoop is lying in the driveway, and I thought, oh, God, can I get out with that? And tried to push it up, and I couldn't. And then I was like, oh, okay, I can get around this. And so got around it, closed the garage door, and left.
Could you smell the smoke at this point?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know, once I went into the garage, you could smell it. And I couldn't smell it in the house. All the windows were closed. The winds had been howling the whole night, and they still were. And my son has asthma, too. And so he's telling me, you know, I'm having a hard time breathing. And it was just, it was horrible. Yeah, so it was windy and smoky, and the smell was really strong.
And then you got in the car, and where did you drive?
So, you know, I'm on our street, and I called my friend because she had told me initially, you know, just get off the hill, go south. And so I called her, and she told me, don't take Bicentennial. Bicentennial's been closed off, to go on the back roads. And there's a small line of cars moving slowly. I called my other friend who had made sure I was getting out. And I was like, okay, like, where are you going? And she's like, we're just driving. We're just going south. And I was like, well, what about work today? And she's like, no, don't worry about work. She's like, they're evacuating the hospital. Yeah, so I said, okay, I should go to my sister's. And she's like, yeah, go to your sister's. My sister lives in the East Bay. So I called my sister, and I told her, and she said, yeah, you know, come. And so we just drove, and yeah, you know, the kids in the car, and they were wide awake at this point. And my daughter was just so scared. She's like, our house is going to burn down. And my son's like, no, it's not flammable. It's not made out of wood. And so, you know, he's trying to calm her down, and they're thinking about things that they wish that they had taken. And we just drove, and we called my husband. He kept calling us from San Diego, and I didn't have my headphones or anything like that. I barely took anything. And then he told us that that Round Barn, which was right by our house, had burned down. And my son heard that because it was on speaker, and he just burst into tears because he knew how close that was to our house. And my daughter's like, but you said it's not flammable. And he couldn't even respond. I was just like, everything's going to be fine. Everything is replaceable. We were out. We're safe. Everything's going to be fine. And then we made it to my sister's, and, you know, about an hour and a half later, as we're almost at my sister's house, the alarm company calls, and they're like, you know, fire alarm is going off. You've got multiple burglar alarms tripped. And so I'm guessing at that point that the house was in flames and the windows had probably burst, making all those alarms trip. And I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful for my neighbor.
Vivek, all this is going on with Aruna and your children. You're stuck in San Diego. Give me a sense of what you were doing at this point.
You know, it's, so if you think about the time, it's, you know, between 2 and 4 in the morning. And so I immediately got on the phone with United to try to figure out when I could fly back. I had originally flown out of the airport in Santa Rosa down to San Diego, but pretty quickly realized that the Santa Rosa airport likely wasn't going to be operational. And so called United, got onto as early a flight as I could. In the meantime, I was just online trying to get a sense for what was going on. And reports at that point were, you know, really spotty and intermittent. I mean, this is, you know, the worst possible time you can imagine something like this happening, right? It's a Sunday late night, Monday early morning. Everyone's in bed getting ready for the week. And as I'm learning more and getting a preliminary sense of the fact that this is, you know, very serious, my biggest concern was that the kids and Aruna got out of the house safely. I mean, once I knew they were on 101 and heading down to my sister-in-law's place, I mean, that was just a huge sense of relief. And then from there, it was just trying to gather information and understand what was going on. I mean, the entire time, we assume, okay, at some point, they'll just go back home. You can never imagine the type of devastation that, in fact, has occurred, right? And so once I knew they were heading down there to my sister-in-law's place, I felt relieved. And then I was just trying to get as much information as I could. And then, you know, I had a full day of meetings at this conference and just trying to pass those things off to other people. And, you know, so that when I got to the airport, I could just focus on getting up to the family.
Well, you learned, of course, that Aruna and the kids were safe at her sister's house. And I know that must have been an enormous relief to you, as bad as it was. Have you two had a chance to go back to your neighborhood in Santa Rosa? What does it look like?
We have. We went back on Tuesday afternoon.
The next day.
And I always try to be very careful about exaggerating or the analogies that I use, because sometimes I think people make these comparisons, you know, whether it's to like a war zone or something like that, and it seems somewhat, you know, inappropriate. But there's nothing I can say that can exaggerate the scale of destruction and devastation. I mean, it looked as if someone had bombed the neighborhood. I mean, just block after block was completely leveled. I mean, it's just the scale of the devastation and the destruction even though now we've seen it, we've been up there a couple of times this week just trying to figure out how best to move forward. And so we've seen it now a couple of times, just the area. But it's still hard to wrap your head around and to comprehend. It's just, it's unlike anything I've ever seen.
You know, it was going down there and seeing it, you know, our driveway was intact. And then you go in and then there are these pillars from our front porch that were up still, but the front door was just lying there. You know, the basketball hoop was partially melted and our patio furniture was still sitting in the same way, but all just charred and the cushions obviously just gone. And then in the driveway by that basketball hoop, the kids had been out on Sunday. It had been a beautiful day until the wind started. And they had been outside playing with sidewalk chalk, and their drawings were like, oh, still there. It was just surreal, you know, ashes everywhere. And then like these drawings of hearts and, you know, drawing of a girl that my daughter had done. Just surreal.
What have your conversations with your kids been like since the fire swept your home away?
We just keep telling them that all that matters is that we're okay. And, you know, my daughter has handled it really well. I don't think she quite grasps what has happened. It's been really, really helpful that we've been at my sister's and they have their cousins there. And, you know, that's like their favorite place to go to begin with, so this is kind of like this awesome vacation to some degree. They're not going to school, they're just hanging out with their cousins. But my son, Like, just to give me an example, like he saw these caricatures that my cousin, my nephews had just had done recently, and he's like, "Oh, I have one, you know, like when I was a lot smaller, and it's with this dinosaur. It's from San Diego. It's up on my wall." And then you could see his face as he registered that that wall is no longer there, and he just walked away, and he came to me, just burst into tears. So there have been moments like that, that, like, you know, your heart just breaks because he doesn't realize, you know, as much as you tell him how lucky we are, he's only 10. And, but, you know, when I saw the house like that and I thought, like, God, what if it had been a little bit later? What if their rooms were in flames? Like, what if it could have been so much worse? And so no, I'm grateful we got out when we did, even if we lost all of it.
The fires haven't stopped. And so there are many like us who've lost everything and now are wrapping our heads around the fact that we need to start to rebuild and, you know, slowly deal with logistical things from, you know, canceling, getting a PO box to canceling, you know, basic services to the larger things like, you know, thinking about how we, if and how we rebuild and what that process is going to entail. But then we have several neighbors and friends who are, you know, under a constant stream of, you know, evacuation alerts and different levels of preparedness because as the winds shift, the fire shifts directions. And so it's by no means, is this thing over? You know, almost 60 kids now in that school have had their homes destroyed. So it's, I mean, people are coming together in ways both big and small through all of this tragedy. I mean, just the level of generosity, and I mean, it's just been in many ways very affirming in terms of just the, you know, the quality and kindness of the human spirit. We're, you know, a long ways from really having a full understanding of the physical and financial damage that has been done. You know, this is a process that's going to be measured not in days or weeks, but in years. Not just for us on a micro level, but for, you know, big parts of Northern California on a more macro level.
Vivek Aruna, you've been through so much in the last couple of days, and you joining us to tell your story in such detail and everything that you've been through means an awful lot. And I hope it does something for you as you look at rebuilding your lives.
Thank you. Yeah, and I appreciate the opportunity to share our story. And you know, it's not ours alone. I mean, there are so many thousands of families that are going through something pretty horrendous. And so just, you know, getting the word out and hopefully people can help and we can get our communities back. I really appreciate the forum.
Aruna and Vivek Jayaraman from Santa Rosa, California. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.